Okay, we're continuing in the Shabbos Malkasa. We're on Perek Yud Beis, the section called Hilchas Shabbos. Hilchas Shabbos. The Mishnah Berura, back to Amalei Hilchas Shabbos. Havias Tiver Rabbeinu Bal Hatumim Vizel Shono. The Mishnah Berura, in his introduction to the laws of Shabbos, brings the words of the Bal Hatumim, and this is what the Mishnah Berura quotes, as he wants us to understand how important it is to learn the laws of Shabbos. Ukvar heid beno hagon val urim v'tumim b'sifro yaris dvash. And he writes how his son writes in his sefer yaris dvash, ki e efshir klal b'mitzias shinatzel mi'isr Shabbos. It is impossible, in reality, to save oneself from the prohibition of Shabbos. Im lo yilmod kol adinim al buriyam heitev heitev. Unless people learn all the laws clearly, very, very well. That's in Mishnah's introduction. If you really want to not be Mechal al Shabbos, you have to learn the laws extensively and well. And now, let's see now what Rapinkus does with this. Umashma de Bishar mitzvah satayrah. It would imply that with other mitzvahs of the Torah, Yitochein lihinatzel mila avor aleim al yedei yedias shekolat baveis rabo. It's possible to avoid transgressing them by merely having the knowledge that you gained while you were in your parents' home or in your Rebbe's home. In other words, other laws, you know, by being in school and listening a little bit and getting a little bit, you're familiar with the mitzvah, you can avoid transgressing it. Right. And how you were taught and you heard the laws of various mitzvahs, how to be careful not to transgress them, it's possible to get by. But the laws of Shabbos, chayiv davka lalamdam heitev, you have to learn them really well. Now, why is that so? Zelochay would appear. Would appear that the reason is because the laws of Shabbos are so many and so detailed into such extensive and varied details that spread out that are involved in every action that a human being does. If you don't learn them well, you'll come, God forbid, against your will to Chil Shabbos. You won't realize that you're desecrating the Shabbos. That's the simple meaning. So Rav Pinkus goes on. There's room to add on and stress more understanding at the root of the concept. Why are the laws of Shabbos unique from all the other mitzvahs of the Torah that they need such an extensive learning in order to know them so well? I mean, he's really set it up. He's already said it already, but he's going to try to take a little bit more. And let's try to make this concept feel more real to us through a story that happened. True story. Mesuper b'sefer Amuda Eish al Kiddush Yisrael, Meril Diskind. They tell a story that was written in the Sefer of the Meril Diskin. Shibahaisa Rav Belomza, when he was a Rav in the city of Lomza. Emar Hoya HaKesar Nikolai HaRishon LaGilir. They say that the Kaiser Nicholas the First was supposed to come to Lomza. Veheichinu Anshe Ir Kabbalas Panim Michubedes Likrasu Karoy LaMelech. And they prepared a greeting which is honorable, that's fitting to greet a king. Uberosh HaMishlachas Omed Parnas Eir Rabbi Yisrael Dvinsky. And the head of the team that would welcome the Tsar was a great financial backer of the city, Rabbi Yisrael Dvinsky. K'yashvu Im Rabbeinu Lisyeitz Al Derech Hishtatvus Achilus Bekabolos Bnei Kesar Hapolit Kesar. And when they sat down, when the Meril Diskind and others sat down to discuss how people are going to be involved in greeting the Caesar, he flit Rabbeinu derech agav har leparnis. So Rav Diskind, you know, gave a made a point to the Parnas, and he says like this: I would advise you not to be the one to sit next to the guy in charge. Shouldn't be there to the czar. Why? And haparnas lo kibul zara, but the parnas didn't take the rabbi's advice not to be next to the czar. He couldn't accept upon himself. He couldn't imagine himself as the leader of the kehila to forego on the influence he could be as the person who's a representative of the Jewish community. He felt that's where he belonged. Okay, next page, Kuflan Vov. Keshaboa Kesar, when the Tsar came, Toch kedei siura barova Yehudi, while he was, I guess, touring the Jewish quarter, pana hakesel avakers beis achol meyehudi shehukim b'mavoh ha'ir al yidei Reb Yisrael. So he turned to visit the hospital, the Jewish hospital, that was built through Reb Yisrael. Shasa biker heir lo hakiser alikui mesuim betavin sabais. So the Tsar mentioned to Rabbi Yisrael there was a certain defect in the form of the house. Though it was built, there was something wrong with its structure a little bit. So Rabbi Yisrael, his Bershikar Tzorech Lius Lefiha Tochnis. Rabbi Yisrael said, well, there's a reason for it according to the plan, the overall plan. It was meant to be that way. And it's nothing wrong with it, but that's part of the design. Hakeser Tzad Od Kama Psiyos Veshuvit Spialeis Apakam. So the Tsar takes a few more steps and notices another flaw in the building. So Yisrael said, yeah, there's an advantage for us to doing it that way as well. Okay. So he tried to, you know, keep justifying the way he made it. So the representatives of those who were going around with the Tsar, they escorted him into jail. They took him to jail. Chok ha-malchus hoya shebemikra v'ha-keser mosach b'koras mutal isha klapov mufanis ha-b'koras lahodos b'mitasah. The law of the land was that in any case where the Tsar gives some type of criticism, bikuris, so it's placed upon the person who the criticism was directed, his job is one thing, to admit that he's right and to promise to fix it. Finished. If the Tsar says it's broken, it's broken, and you don't argue. Just say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm really sorry, I'll fix it. Rabbi Yisrael shelo yada sod nimusei zeh, but Rabbi Yisrael didn't know that rule. Kishakeser tzbialolik alalikuyim, when the Tsar pointed out the flaws, v'makom lahaskim l'daita nisa l'shachneo she'en mamish b'bikorizo. Instead of agreeing to what the Tsar said, he tried to persuade the Tsar and to show there isn't really anything to his criticisms. Okay, so you can understand, you know, what kind of ego the Tsar had as well. So to throw him in jail? I don't want to be with such a guy. At the end, after great efforts, we're able to get him out of jail. So kishenishal Rabbeinu achakach al yidei echad mi mekur vav ma roli yaitz mi rosh Rabbi Yisrael shal yofia b'chagigas kabbalas upon him. So when one of the close people to the Mariel Diskin, they said, so what did you see to give such advice, Yisrael, not to be part of the welcoming committee? His answer was, Makar ani osoki ish pashut. I recognize him as a simple kind of guy. V'shiarti shikashol b'omdu lifnei keser. And I figured he'd stumble if he stands before the Tsar. In other words, he's a simple guy. He doesn't realize what it means to give kavod to people. He's a down-to-earth guy. But you know what? Not everybody, when you're next to the Tsar, you don't act down-to-earth. You know, you got to know to be a little deeper and to realize you don't have to always say the truth when you're in front of the Tsar. V'hainu, meaning to say, shegam ish mechubad v'neso panim kishemofia v'omed lifnei ha-melech, even an honorable person, a leader, but if he's in front of a king, if he hasn't been trained specifically, it's not possible that he won't stumble a little bit. You need to be trained to know how to be around a czar, a dignitary. And they tell a story, the Chavetz Chaim said about the praises about Reb Shlomo HaKohen from Vilna, who wrote the Sefer Cheshek Shlomo. Shim hoya beis hamikdash nivna biyamav, hoya boki lasos es avodas hamikdash. He said that if the beis hamikdash would be built in the days of the Cheshek Shlomo, he was an expert enough to know how to do the service of the temple. So, you know, it's a real big problem. If the beis hamikdash was built today, we'd have a lot of problems. People wouldn't know how to do the service. You have to learn kachim. Very few people learn kachim because we don't have a beis hamikdash. Why learn it if you don't apply it? Right? Chavetz Chaim was very particular about that. He said, if you're a kohen, you have to learn kachim. What are you talking about? Beis hamikdash is built tomorrow. The kohen, I'm going to have to do the avoda. You're not going to know how to do the avoda and everything that's involved. First of all, you have to know how to be a shoichet. If not a shecht, an animal. There's a lot you need to know how to do. So what you do? Anyway, so he said about the Cheshek Shlomo that if the beis hamikdash was built today, he'd know what to do. So what do we mean to say? So we think it means, well, you know, he knows the laws. He knows the laws of treifus, if an animal's kosher or not. He knows the laws of Erevin. He's a real expert in the laws. So he says that's not the real point that the Chavetz Chaim was saying. Aval hilchas avoda koshi miyuchad yeshbahem, that the laws of service have a unique difficulty with them. Right? It could be because they're not applicable in these days, right? Could be there's not enough service of people to know exactly to see what's going on. In other words, there's knowing the laws and then there's knowing the practicalities. You know, you can get smicha, but if you don't do any understudy work to see it in real life, there's a big gap between what you learn in the books and what's in reality. That could be another reason. Avol nira od, but Rav Pinkus thinks this is what the Chavetz Chaim really meant. Sheba emes yesh koshi miyuchad lios baki b'hilchas avoda. Maybe it's hard to be an expert in the laws of avoda. Neish ein hilchas shel oimed v'oved lifnei hamelech. Shehein, because their laws are including how to stand in front of the king. You have to know how to stand in front of the king with the right awe and trepidation. And they're very many and difficult and detailed laws. Only a very smart person can know the laws. So what he's saying, the mila of the Cheshek Shlomo is that when the Beis Hamikdash would be rebuilt, he'd know how to stand in fear before Hashem. And that, not everybody really knows. Be that as it may, with all the stories that Rav Pinkus has brought, what's the point? Valderech, an unusual parak, very little... question wasn't such a big question, and the answer is obvious, and it's a lot of stories for it, but you know, I guess he wants every chapter to be on its own. With this picture now, that's the whole point of Hilchos Shabbos. As we said in the last chapter, the whole point of Shabbos is that you're standing before the king. Therefore, the laws of Shabbos are so detailed. And someone who isn't mamish trained in them, it's not possible, you can't stumble. In other words, the point the Rebbe's asking is, like, so there's a lot of detailed halachas in Shas, right? So why are the laws of Shabbos so much more detailed than everything else? He's saying because the whole point of Shabbos, and for that matter, you know, I'm sure the same thing could be said about the laws of the Beis HaMikdash. But no one's going to write that about the laws of Beis HaMikdash because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But they have to be so detailed because that's what it means to be standing before the king. When you're before a king, there's a whole myriad of behaviors that you don't have to do all your whole life. And since you're staying before the king, that's why there are so many laws. And that's why you have to really be an expert in these laws. Precisely because you're standing before the king and you can't get by with simple activities. Okay, we could skip the thing below. Now let's move on to the next one. Kuf Lamed Ches. Oinik Shabbos. So, I already was mechaving to what he said, and in one of our discussions, I think with Moshe, I kind of gave away the answer. But we're going to do every chapter on its own. And the Rebbe's going to talk about now, why is the concept of Oinik Shabbos so important on Shabbos? Oinik Shabbos simply means taking pleasure in the Shabbos. And we'll see exactly what he means. Kvar amadnu b'psichas ha-kuntras al inyan ha-mufla miyuchad l'Shabbos mitzvahs Oinik Shabbos. We already discussed in the introduction of our pamphlet the wondrous concept that's unique to Shabbos, which is the mitzvah of taking pleasure in the Shabbos. Sheish hadgosha gedoyla u'mitzvah rabba l'hochin ma'atamim v'divrei mesika b'midah merubah. That there is a specific point, a big point, and a big mitzvah, it's a great emphasis, to prepare tasty foods and sweet foods in a big amount. Kolechad kifi yecholto, everybody according to their ability. V'lutzamtzim klal, and not to be cheap on this. You should, you know, have big tables with lots of good food. There should be lots of good delicacies out. And if you got the money, you spend more. I mean, not ridiculously that you're throwing out food, chas v'shalom, but you're really, you know, sparing no expense on Shabbos preparations. V'adover tzarech bir, and we have to explain this concept. Shelechayra hayoroi b'yom kodesh zeh letzamtzem b'inyonei ha'olam hazeh u'b'chol ma'ashaguf nehenu mimenu. Really, you'd figure on such a holy day, we should really cut down on all this worldly aspects. And to what the body will take pleasure from. She's doing less. Remember that was your question? It appears from the way we see this mitzvah that taking pleasure is a fundamental big point about Shabbos. She can't see because that's what the prophet Yeshaya says. That's the pasuk. And you will call the Shabbos a delight. Hainu kriya shem, it's calling a name. Not just calling out, calling a name. And we know, V'shem arei magdirs kol hamahus. And a name defines the essence. So, V'eich b'emes magim b'yom chemdas ha-kodesh baruch hu, inyonim shem b'tev asoshim es aruchonis v'kdusha. So how could it be, on a day that is so precious to Hashem, that you have these concepts of taking delight, which by nature contradict spirituality and holiness? You know, having thick rib steaks on Shabbos. Right? Fancy foods, right? It seems to go against the idea of Kedusha. We've learned that Kedusha is supposed to have Prisha, supposed to have abstinence when there's Kedusha. Less is more in holiness. Less physicality is more. So what's going on? That you really should make out of Shabbos a Shabbos of Shabbos. Like Yom Kippur, lishbos gam me'achil shesia, to not even eat or drink. Uma gam sheish mitzvah gedoy laharbas beribu gadol binyon etanig mamish kfir yecholus. And what's this idea that there's a big mitzvah to increase as much as possible with this pleasure? The tzachbir ma'ariyin said we have to explain what this is. Okay, so I don't know if we're going to finish this all in once. It's a long. He spends a long time till he gets to this. So let's see if we can get this in one session. Now, let's go to Yom Kippur. V'yom HaKippurim yesh mitzvahs inui. We know there's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur of inui. Inui means to not have pleasure. To self-afflict. V'alkei nikra Shabbos Shabbason. That's what's called a Shabbos of Shabboses. Meaning, Hainu, she yisoda inui shel Yom Kippur, einu kishar atzoyimish shematoru hu inui shel tzar. That the fundamental affliction of Yom Kippur is not like other fast days like we'll have on Tisha B'Av. That the goal of fasting on Tisha B'Av is to give yourself pain. That's what it's true. The goal of Tisha B'Av is to be in pain, is to suffer. And if you suffer, you'll feel the suffering of the Jewish people. But the concept of the fast on Yom Kippur is a concept of shvisa, of cessation, stopping. Hainu bitol oylam haze ad kedei shvisa gemura gamech ushasiya. Stopping living in this world to such a point, to such a complete stopping, even from eating and drinking. V'zeh, this is the meaning of the double expression of the Torah when it calls Yom Kippur Shabbos, Shabboson, a Shabbos or Shabboses. Hainu, one Shabbos, Hainu shvisim emalach kamo kol Shabbos ba'alma. It's stopping any kind of work like on every Shabbos. And Shabbason sheshavas afil mechil shesiyah v'chol tanugim. And then Shabbason is you stop eating, drinking, and any pleasure of Shabbos. Right? So it's not the same. What's the point? So why are we not having any pleasure on Yom Kippur? While Yedeza Yisrael Haifim Lios Kamalachim. Thereby the Jewish people will turn into becoming malachim, angels. The Atzmashal Yom Hu Kula Olam Haba, and the essential day is the day that's Olam Haba. That's the goal of Yom Kippur. To make it a day like you're an angel, where all your senses, your neshama, it's like you're in Olam Haba. That's the one day of the year that you feel that way. Harelecha, so what do you have? Shinin Shvisa Kasher Hu Ad Gimira, when we have a stoppage, which is total, Kol Gam Shvisa Mechilish Yisiyah, it includes stopping from eating and drinking. So if that's what Yom Kippur is, V'imkein Kivin Shekidusha Shabbos Chamura Mekidusha Yom Kippur, since you know that the holiness of Shabbos is stronger than the holiness of Yom Kippur. Why? Right? As we know that the punishment for being Mechal Shabbos is greater than the punishment for being Mechal Yom Kippur. So it's fitting, you'd think, that on Shabbos there shouldn't only be a stoppage of work. But Shabbos should be a day like Yom Kippur of Shabbos Shabboson, even not from eating and drinking, because it's a day that's totally spiritual. But we know it's not that way. So why does Shabbos not have those Yom Kippur aspects? It should have more than Yom Kippur, not less. Avoba emes, but the truth is, yes, Kiddusha Shabbos gedoyla mekiddusha Yom Kippur, the holiness of Shabbos is greater than the holiness of Yom Kippur. Vegam chalos ha-Shabboson shel Shabbos yisera mi-Shabboson shel Yom Kippur. The truth is, the Shabboson aspect, the stopping aspect of Shabbos is greater than the Shabbos aspect of Yom Kippur, believe it or not. Ve'adrav, and the opposite. Mipnei otzemes ha-Shabboson. Because the Shabboson aspect is so much stronger, Eina Asura Bachil Shasiyah, you're not prohibited from eating and drinking. V'yeshba mitzvahs oinig, and you have a mitzvah oinig. This sounds like really difficult. You're saying that Shabbos Shabboson of Yom Kippur is so strong, shows how strong the holiness is, you don't even eat. And he's saying Shabbos is even stronger than that, and since it's stronger than that, you bedafke eat. It's like a really weird curve, where you're coming back to the, you know, you start off here, you know, and you eat and drink, get holier, you don't work, holier, you eat, you don't eat, holier, you eat and drink, come back to square one. Doesn't make sense. So this is going to need a lot of explanation. And even after he says the first round explanation, he says, I got to go deeper. So you're really not going to get it after the first round. You're only going to get it after that I go deeper part. Alright? First, let's explain with a little insight that we see from the great people who serve Hashem. In general, to understand, how do you understand the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? Any of the other holy days, which would include Yom Kippur. How is Shabbos different than all the other Moadim? So he says in a very simple way. The other holidays, we can compare it to a king who visits a local villager. A peasant. A king visits a villager. And he comes with his entire entourage to the guy's house. So, what are they going to have to do to the guy's house for the king to live there? We have to change over his poor home into a palace for kings. When the king comes to your house, you better remodel it. You've got to make it as nice as you can. Right? That's Yontif. But Shabbos is an example of the peasant who's invited to the king's palace. Right, you're invited to the king's palace. You're going to the king's palace. Okay, there are those who argue on this mashal.
Really?
Yeah, there are those who argue on this mashal and say the exact opposite, but we're not going to get into that. There's proofs against this, but let's leave it like this, and that's fine. But there's different ways to look at it. They could both be right. But that's what he says. Shabbos is going into the king's palace. Yontif is the king is going into your home. So if that's the case, so Yom Kippur is the king coming to your palace as well. King coming to your home. Vine, Yom Kippur, self. Ain't a Shabbos. At the end of the day, Yom Kippur is not Shabbos. It's a Yontif. El Echad mi Mehamasa. It's one of these days of action, meaning one of these Yontif. Nintzesh Yom Kippur, ain't a Yom Bitul Shel Teva Olameinu. It comes out that Yom Kippur is not a day of ceasing the nature of our world. It's not a day where we stop our world, and rather we go into another world. We go into the king's palace. Going into the king's palace means you're in a different world. I'm not in my world. Elarat, it's the king going into the peasant's house. Elachadira shel kedusha el tocha tevaat. That's a penetration of holiness into nature itself. It's the king going into the peasant's house, and therefore the house has to change, but you're still in your house. Such a day, since the holiness is stronger than any other holiday, Yom Kippur is the biggest visit of the king into your house. In other words, the king comes some, you know, in other words, different changes. When the king's in your palace, in your home, there's certain changes happen. Every yontif reflects a different type of change that should be in your home. And Yom Kippur is the biggest change in your house. So Kedusha Osa, so now it's such an important day. The Kedusha is so great, it creates a Shvisa Gemura Al Kol Klaliya Teva, a total change of the nature that is still there. In which Yontif is entering nature. You're still the way you are, but there's got to make changes in the way you are. Changes in the way you are. Right? So, the king is really there in a big way. The king is really there in a big way. So therefore, you got to make big changes. So we'll see. V'olam haba nichnas toch alameinu. And the world to come penetrates our world. Okay, therefore, muchach shetehe bo shvisa gemura gam mikol tanugim. So by force, there has to be a total cessation even from the lights. Shabbalam hazeh, because in this world that we're experiencing at this point, when Olam Haba is penetrating Olam Hazeh, achila shesiehim stir l'kedusha. Eating and drinking is a contradiction to Kedusha, ubinyan haguf u'churban neshama, and building up the body is a destruction of the soul. In other words, when Olam Haba penetrates Olam Hazeh, so Olam Hazeh has to conform to Olam Haba. And, you know, and to have that spiritual feeling of Olam Haba, you can't eat. That's a contradiction. The focusing on the body is a contradiction to what Olam Haba is. That's totally spiritual. The king is coming in. Olam Haba is coming in. So Olam Hazeh has to conform to Olam Haba. And there can't be any conflict of Olam Hazeh when Olam Haba is coming into your world. Yom Kippur is a Yontif, so it's the king coming to you. If the king is coming to you, so Olam Hava is coming to you, so now your Olam Hazeh has to conform. Let's finish. There's a lot more. I can't even take questions because there's a lot more. He hasn't even said anything yet. He's only said half a sentence, so to speak, so you can't ask anything. Avol Shabbos, I gotta go to the other side now. Avol Shabbos shehihi hashbos ha-gemura. Shabbos is total cessation. What does that mean? Umikoach gilui chidush olam, and from the power of the revelation of the point of the renewal of the world, that the world is really nothing without Hashem. Misbatal hateva kula, the teva, the nature of this world is totally surrendered, nullified. And the world elevates itself beyond nature in total. In other words, Ein kan chadira shel kedusha toch olamenu. It's not a penetration of holiness into our world. Ela sha'olam shoveis mimitziyusa. The world ceases its existence. Va'olam haba and goes into olam haba. It's going to the king's palace. It's going into olam haba as opposed to olam haba penetrating into our world. In other words, on Yom Kippur, olam haba is in our world, but our world is still our world. We're still in our world that olam haba is penetrating. It's a collision of worlds. It's a collision of worlds. So this world has to conform to the world that it's colliding with in order for there not to be havoc and for olam haba to penetrate properly. Right? That's the case. Right? However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so but what he's saying is, one second, so he's saying, so Shabbos is not a penetration of holiness into our world. This world ceases to exist. And it's transported into Olam Haba. It is in Olam Haba now. It's not that Olam Haba is penetrating here, but this world is going into Olam Haba. Im Kain, if that's the case, and you are now in Olam Haba, It's not Olam Haba trying to break into your world, but you're in Olam Haba. Mamela ain't certainly batal me'achil shasi. You don't have to stop eating and drinking. Why? Sheha'achila shabo, the eating in that world, ain't achilas Olam Hazeklal. It's not this worldly type of eating. El achilas Olam Haba mamish. It's the eating that you do in Olam Haba, which is called Tzadikim yoshvim v'itrosem b'roshem v'nehenim miziv ha'shchina. Tzadikim who are sitting with their crowns on their heads and they are taking pleasure from the splendor of the Shechina. Right? They're taking pleasure. They're, you know, eating is a very interesting metaphor. Right? Eating means you're taking it in. You're taking something that's outside of you and bringing it inside of you. Yeah, and they use expressions of eating in Olam Haba. You eat from the suit of the Leviathan. You eat from the Leviathan. They use expressions of eating. And the Rambam explains what that means. He's saying it's not really eating, but it's trying to give us an understanding. What eating does is you take something that's outside of you and put it inside of you. So you're putting the wisdom of Hashem inside. You consume. You're consuming godliness. That's the real eating that happens in Olam Haba. That kind of eating is not a contradiction to what goes on here. Okay? So therefore, you know, taking pleasure in that world is not a problem. Okay, Zohi Amita Seinin, that's the truth. So what he is saying, and which needs more explanation, and that's what he's going to say. V'adayin tzorech bir, l'karev adever l'asechel v'van apshuta. We need more explanation to bring this a little bit closer to our brains and our simple understanding of life. How do we relate physical pleasures to a day that's totally holy to Hashem? But what he's saying up to this point, which we still need to elaborate on, is that when on Yom Kippur, when it's a question of the king visiting the simple villager, so the king is bringing the kingdom into the simple village. It's Hashem bringing Olam Haba into Olam Hazeh. At the end of the day, the villager's little simple house is still a simple house. But it's being influenced by the king's presence, and it's being transformed into a palace, but it still is the village. And therefore, you can't do anything that you normally do in the village that would be a contradiction to allow this intrusion to take place. Yes, that's Yom Kippur. So you're trying to bring Olam Haba into this world, but you are in this world. You are in this world. So now how am I going to do that? Well, for sure you can't work. But more than that, you can't even eat. Because if you'll do a this worldly thing in this world with Olam Haba wanting to penetrate in, then there's a contradiction. You can't eat when you're trying to put Olam Haba in. You can't have any feeling of Olam Haza. Any feeling of Olam Haza won't let you bring Olam Haba in. You just like in the story before, when the guy, he keeps answering the Tsar. The Tsar saying no. And he says, no, you don't understand. You can't argue. You can't be the way you normally are. You got to totally surrender in order for Olam Haba to penetrate Olam Hazeh. But once you're put into Olam Haba, and you're a different reality, and that is the reality. There is no Olam Hazeh anymore. Finished. You're in a different world. So now you're eating, even your physical eating will not pose as a contradiction, because you can't fool yourself where you're at. And when you're at where you're at, your eating is going to be a different eating. When I eat at my table, and it's my table, and it's this world, as much as Olam Haba is trying to get in, my physical eating won't let Olam Haba penetrate into my world. But if I'm in Olam Haba, and I know the real realities, not that that reality is trying to penetrate me, but I've been plunked into Olam Haba, so if you eat, you're not going to fool yourself into think that that food is real. See, in Olam Hazeh, in this world, we think that steak is real. In this world, when you go to a steak, you see a steak. And that steak is real pleasure. And you really can take it all in. Right? And what you don't see, and this we talked about, about a year ago, just about this time when we were learning Rabbi Nachman. Right? How to look in the seichel shebechol davar, what the real seichel of everything is. You look at a hamburger. How do you view a hamburger? A hamburger is a real culinary delight. It's really tasty. And with onions and ketchup and mustard, it's even better. Right? And the whole goal of that hamburger is to make you happy. Right? And therefore, certain spiritual things can be looked at as obstructions to that happiness. You see that hamburger, and you see that juice simmering off the side, sizzling hamburger off the grill. What do you want to do? You want to eat it right away. Comes along the rabbi and say, hold on, you better make a bracha. And we view that bracha as a obstruction, a delay in my pleasure. So we rattle it off as quickly as possible to get it out of the way. Right? And if you eat four or five hamburgers and you really are full, what you want to do right now is just lie down on the chair there and sit back and fall asleep. And say, you got a bench. Oh, the vault. Have the bench. That's really long. Say you buzz through it in 35 seconds. Okay, I benched. Right? That's all bothering your Olam Haza, because the hamburger in your mind is one thing only. That feels good, man. That's a real pleasure. Right? But somebody lives at the Sheikhul Shebechol Davar. Someone who understands the real realities. He knows that a hamburger is nothing more than a manifestation of God's will and has no existence beyond its own existence, beyond God's will that wants it to be in this world for us. And what you're eating is the will of Hashem. That's what you're eating. That's a mirage. That's a hamburger. And all that is the will of Hashem is that this should be an entity that should make you love Hashem more. That's all a hamburger is, really. A beautiful fruit, an unbelievable exotic fruit, is there for one reason, so you should love Hashem more. Look how much He loves you. He created such a fruit. He created that animals, if you shech them and you grind them up and sizzle them on the grill, they taste so good. And that's another way of thanking Hashem. All it is a way to thank Hashem. So you don't get carried away with all the, so you enjoy it. But you don't make an art form of it. And that's the difference. I don't know, I think my son brought from the LCBO. I don't know who brought it. I see in the bathroom sometimes magazines, I don't know where they come from, right? So there's one from the LCBO, like different wines, I suppose. But they also have, you can't just, it's kind of boring just having wines in the magazine. So you have to have all the foods that go with wines. So it's like, so they're trying to be Masber, the whole art form of which food and which wine, and it's like, it's mamish, a whole mesechta. It's all mesechta. You have to learn, how to enjoy food. That's gone beyond what God wanted us to have in this world. He gave you a steak. It's, a steak's pretty good on its own, man. You put it on the grill, put a little put a little barbecue sauce on, whatever. You know, it's pretty geschmack. If you leave the fat on the way it was meant to be left on. You know, that's the whole problem. God created fat in animals because he wanted you to have a little fat in your life. He didn't want you to have barbecues every day of the week, mind you. Gemara says, if you're an Amoritz, you don't eat meats that often. Once a week for Shabbos, have a barbecue. You have a little fat. You know, a little fat once a week, if you have a steak, L'chavit Shabbos, a kazayas, a little 3-ounce steak, a little fat there, no one's going to die from cholesterol from that. Never, never. It's everything else we put in the whole year, week long. But you meant to have, you know, really this whole thing of seasoning and all, that's a narishkeit. It's because you took away the inherent, the fat. The fat is what gives it the geschmack. You know, put a little salt, you know, a little bit of spice, that's all. You have to have some spice, but you know, you have to smother it with, you know, Kraft barbecue sauce, honey, garlic, this, that. And all you're tasting is honey, garlic, artificial stuff, right? But it was made to be enjoyed. But when you make food into a culinary experience, that's the pshat, that's what they call it. A culinary experience. That means the hamburger is its own entity. It's its own thing. It's not connected to Hashem. So that will take you away. That won't work with Yom Kippur, man. Because you've separated it from the source of existence, and that won't work in Olam Haba. But if you're in Olam Haba, you know, but if you looked at that hamburger, this is the absolute pure will of Hashem. And it exists only because Hashem wants it to exist. And this whole existence is to get me closer to Hashem. So your whole approach to that hamburger is different. You don't get consumed with it. You don't spend an hour and a half preparing it and letting it simmer and soak in its juices and chveis, all the other things you have to do, so you'll appreciate it. And it's all avoid. You spend more time preparing a steak than learning a daf gemara day. Right? But if you say, no, this is one of Hashem's blessings, the shech, the animal, cut it up, you know, and put it on the grill and eat it and finished. Oh, it's geschmack. Finished. Then now I learn to love Hashem from that. And that's the only thing I'm tasting in that steak. I'm tasting Hashem's love for me. That's a Seichel Shebechol Dover. Guess what? When you're in Olam Haba, if they serve you a steak in Olam Haba, that's the only way you're going to look at that steak in Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, there is no facade and saying that this steak is its own entity. In Olam Haba, you say that this steak, when you look at even at a steak, you mamish, this steak is only one thing. It's the Ratzon Hashem. It's the way that I can connect to Hashem. And as physical as it is, I see beneath the physicality and I see the spirituality. So what the Rebbe is saying, when you're in Olam Haba, a steak looks different than an Olam Haza. And in this world, when you look at a steak, it is a contradiction to spirituality. And you'll spend an hour and a half dealing with that steak.
Instead of taking steak, you can take daf gemara.
Who? A daf gemara? But in Olam Haba, you will see the steak for what it is. The will of Hashem. And therefore, it's not any contradiction to what you're doing. So on Shabbos, that's the point. That's what he's going to say. On Shabbos, you eat a steak like you eat a steak in Olam Haba. Not a steak in Olam Haza. And the whole way we're going to confront that food on Shabbos is with the Seichel Shebechol Dover, and not with the artificial look. And that's what the Rebbe's going to elaborate on tomorrow, Mirtzah Shem.